Hi, I'm Anna Herring, and I am the Kids Ministry Director here in Reality Kids. And you are listening to the 4-year-old through first grade training. Now, along with this training is a PDF that you can find right next to where you're listening. It's super important that you open that up and follow along as you're listening, because a lot of this is going to be visual, so you can see the lesson plans and what a sign-in sheet looks like and all the details. So you're not just hearing it, you're also seeing it. It'll help help you learn best. So let's begin. So we are so excited to have you serve with the 4-year-olds through first graders here at Reality Ventura. These kids are imaginative and fun and love to learn. And you get to be a part of their discipleship by showing them the love of God and pointing them to Jesus. Now, let's pull back and look at the big mission of Reality Kids. So the mission of Reality Kids is to come alongside parents by pointing their children to Jesus, teaching them the scriptures, and demonstrating the love of God. So what we mean by that is we are partnering with parents. And how we do that is we're always pointing their kids to Jesus, not only in what we teach on a Sunday, but also in how we interact with them. So they're not just learning about Jesus, but they're actually experiencing him when they come to our kids' ministry. So in order to teach the kids about Jesus, you need to know about the lessons. So all of your lessons are edited in advance. They're posted online and they're prepped for you. So, and you can find them at the Kids Ministry website. It's realityventura.com/kids/volunteer. It's actually the website you're currently on. Just scroll up a little bit and you will find your lesson plans there. And that's where you will learn about what the kids are learning and how that story points to Jesus. And those are the lessons that we do. But again, we don't want to just teach them about Jesus. We want them to experience Jesus, which brings me to a really important value that we have in kids ministry. So Reality Kids places a huge value on connecting with kids. We have observed that if a child does not have a friend, whether that be a peer or a teacher, they tend to be closed off and eager to leave. Therefore, our first goal is to always, always, always build connection with the children. After that connection has been built and friendships have been made, then those walls will come down and they will be a lot more receptive to whatever it is we want to teach them and any corrections that we might need to give along the way. And of course, the best way to connect with kids is through play. So playing with kids when they first arrive is vital. Also, as you continue this training, you'll discover that there are other ways that we try to foster connection so that kids don't just learn about Jesus, but again, they experience him as well. And I would love for you to learn more about this. And so we have provided some additional equippings that are optional. They're at the bottom of the website you're currently on. And the two equippings I would recommend are defining key phrases, which will include different values that we have in kids ministry, including connection over correction, but also one that's entitled the balance between connection and correction, because sometimes that can be a tough balance. So I really encourage those two if you would like to learn more. Now let's move on to the types of volunteers in kids ministry. Now there will be three types of volunteers in a class. So as you listen, you know the role that you have been assigned. You know if you've been assigned leader, if you've been assigned assistant, or if you've been assigned sidekick. So let's go over each of these so you know what your expectation is, but you also know what the expectation is of the co-volunteers in your class. So leaders are the head leader in the classroom. They are responsible for managing their class and leading the kids through each small group activity for the day. This includes crafts, snacks, a thing called lollipops and lemons, which we'll go over, and discussion. They are also responsible for directing and delegating to the assistant as needed. And class leaders are not responsible for actually teaching the story or the lesson for the day. So that's the leader. But then you have the assistants. assistants are what I want to call a secondary leader in the classroom. They are responsible for connecting with the kids and helping the kids connect with each other, assisting the leader, and correcting or redirecting challenging behaviors as the leader is leading an activity. So the assistants are there, again, to assist that leader, and that is like a very active participation with the kids. And also a lot of communication is required between the assistant and leader. So get to know your co-volunteer, communicate with them, and figure out how the class is going to go so the leader can lead it and then the assistant can assist. And then finally, we have sidekicks. And sidekicks are volunteers who work one-on-one with kids who need one-on-one support. Sometimes those kids have special needs, but many times they do not. And responsibilities for that volunteer is that they would be assisting a very specific child in that class. They are helping that child when he or she is dysregulated. And then they help that child have a positive kids ministry experience. Now, the expectation for a child who has a sidekick might be a little different than the rest of the class. So it is super important for the sidekick to communicate with the class leader and assistant about that expectation for their child. And so that way they're on the same page and they can kind of work together as a team, even though they have different roles. And then the fourth volunteer role that I think is really important for you to know is the coordinator. This volunteer is not in your class, but they are a volunteer staff member who travels around kids ministry throughout the service, checking in on teachers and supporting them as needed. So they will, at the beginning of the service, they will introduce themselves, and then they will write their name and phone number on the sign-in sheet where your kids check in. So if you need them for whatever reason, you can just reach out and contact them. One of those reasons could be somebody got hurt, or there's a challenging behavior, or they ran out of Chex or Goldfish or crafting supplies. It's the coordinator like that you're going to reach out to. Okay, so with all of that in mind, let's now jump into Sundays. Now, before you arrive on a Sunday, set yourself up for success by preparing mentally and spiritually before you arrive. Lessons are posted online 3 weeks in advance, so there's ample opportunity to prepare. Also, on the day of arrival, please arrive 15 minutes before the service starts, wearing your volunteer t-shirt and lanyard, which can be found in the kids ministry supply room. So in that room, you can grab a t-shirt if you don't own one already. Every volunteer gets one t-shirt. And then you're going to grab a name tag. And on that name tag, you're going to write with a wet erase marker your name and clip it onto a lanyard and wear it. And then at the end of service, you're going to bring it back to the kids ministry supply room, wipe off your name with a baby wipe that has been provided. And then you can put the name tag and lanyard back so the next person can use it. So again, that is in the kids ministry supply room, which is off of the hallway where all of the bathrooms are for the men's and women's bathrooms. When you arrive, please wash your hands to help minimize the spread of germs. And then be ready and present to receive children as they arrive. In your room is going to be a cart with all of the supplies for the day. This includes the printed lesson plan, which we're about to go over, the craft supplies, the snacks, the activity pages, any coloring supplies you need, tissues, and any cleaning products that are necessary to keep your room sterilized and clean. So with all of that in mind, let's jump into your lesson plan. What is going to happen on a Sunday? So when you look in your cart, or if you look online in advance, which everybody should do, whether you're an assistant or a leader, this is the cover page for the lesson plan. Again, if you're not following along on the PDF that's been provided with this training, please open that up and so you can follow along now. So on the cover page, you will see the class. This one happens to be the kindergarten lesson plan. It'll be the lesson title, so God Created the World, along with where we're going to find that in the Bible, the memory verse, and the main story point for the day. And then a story image which they're always so beautiful, and then the schedule for the day. So that's going to be on your title page. And after you arrive, the first thing that's going to happen are the kids are going to start getting checked in. And as they're getting checked in, they have free play so that they can start building and connecting with their peers and you guys as leaders. So as families have arrived, families will have already received their name tags and security labels prior to arriving. So the name tag is what the child wears. The security label has an alphanumeric number that matches the child's name tag. So when the parents later pick them up, we can know, oh, okay, that child goes with that parent. So that's what they will already have prior to coming. As they arrive, please welcome the parents and their child. Have the parents sign in on the sign-in sheet, and you will take this sign-in sheet with you everywhere you go with your class, which is important to know because you guys have what we call a large group, small group style kids ministry, which means part of your time is going to be in your class with your small group, which is your class, and part of it you're going to travel to the kids' worship room upstairs, which is large group, and you want to make sure that you have that sign-in sheet with you everywhere you go. So that's why it's important to have that with you. If a child is crying at check-ins, you can encourage the parent to introduce them into the space. You might remember from our policies and procedures that we have a present parent guardian policy, which means parents are welcome to come into the room. They just need to maintain their interactions to their own child, but they can come in and help their child transition into the room. And into your care. And then you can also help with this, like step in and introduce yourself to the kids, show them around, show them the toys, get them engaged so that the parent can then go to church. This mostly happens with the 4 and 5 year olds. Occasionally this will happen with kindergartners, and very rarely will it happen with first grade, but it's not impossible. Sometimes it does happen. And during this time, a lot of times it's the leader who's doing the check-in. So if there's a child who's struggling, it's actually best if the assistant is the one who is helping with that transition so that the leader can stay at the check-in table and make sure that the parents are being received and welcomed properly. And again, as the kids are checked in, they have free time, which is a great time to connect with each other. We also have activity pages with coloring on it. That's a really good activity for this age group, especially for the really shy ones that aren't comfortable jumping into an activity or playing with a kid. Coloring pages is a super safe opening activity for them. You can see on this document that this is what one of our sample sign-in sheets look like. This is a place for their name, a place to write that alphanumeric number, their security number, and then later they'll initial on checkout when they go through checkout, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then again, as kids are having free time, they get checked in, they get to play with all the toys in the class, activity pages. And again, this is a vital time to build connection, but please be mindful of the time, because you guys will be going to large group first, and it starts at a very specific time. So if that means setting a timer, go for it. And then when the timer goes off, you can be like, look it, my timer's going off. It's time to go. And so that way the kids can clean up and go to large group, which we will go over next. So after free time, the kids need to line up and go upstairs into the kids' worship room for large group. It is important to bring your clipboard. Also, I want to note, it's important for you to clean your class because when your kids come back down into class, their next activity after coming from large group is not playtime. But if the toys are out, that's all they're going to want to do. So to think ahead and help the transition back into the classroom, the best thing is that the kids clean up ahead of time. So you might want to set your timer like 5 minutes before it's time to line up so the kids can all work together to clean up and then line up and then again go upstairs to the kids' worship room for large group and bring your clipboard with you. Now, large group is when the kids will learn the story, practice the memory verse, and worship Jesus. And while in this room, you are still responsible for your students, for your class. So please sit with the kids, engage in all the fun activities and encourage the kids to do the same. Now, the kids kind of intermingle between the classes because siblings and friends and whatnot, that's totally fine, unless it's a distraction. And then if that's the case, if they're exhibiting any kind of challenging behavior, please lovingly correct them. And you can refer back to the behavior and procedure, the behavior procedure, which is in our policies and procedures training before, on how to lovingly correct the kids in that moment. But during this time, there are five things that are going to happen. The first thing is the kids are going to practice their memory verse song, and there is a worship leader in this room to lead them in this. And it's, we learn it through song. The second thing is we're going to watch a story, our story for the day, on a video. The third thing is the kids, the leader in that room, we call it a large group leader. Their job is to help the kids review and retell that story to help solidify it a little bit more in their hearts and in their minds. And then finally, because we want to make sure these kids know this story is true and that the Bible is where the story is found, we then read it to them from the Bible. They don't read it because a lot of them don't read yet, and our job is not to teach the kids how to read. So we don't have them open the Bible yet. We say that for upper elementary, but we're still reading the story to them so that they're hearing it and letting that sink deep into their hearts. And then finally, we close in worship. Now, during this time, we might learn a story, but we want to remember Jesus is the hero of every single story they will ever hear in the Bible. And so we will draw out the Christ connection, how it connects to Jesus, and we will present the gospel every single time the kids come to large group. So it's a really special, really fun and engaging time. I think you guys are going to love it. Now, once over, your kids will be directed to line up. You're going to count all your kids to ensure you have everyone, which is why that clipboard is really handy at that time. And some kids may have arrived while large group was going on. And then you will lead your kids back downstairs to the classroom. And the very first place they're going to go is straight to the carpets for small group. Small group is our discussion time, and it's very simple, and we always ask the same four questions. Now, we want to help them transition though. So they're going to come downstairs, go to the carpet, and the first thing we're going to do is we are going to review the story they had just learned with these storytelling images, which can be found online where your lesson plans are all found. So this is all available to you in advance. And on one side of the storytelling images is the image, and on the back side is what to read while you're showing that image so that the kids can see the image and hear and remember that part of the story. There's only four or five images, so it does not take long. But then when you're done reviewing, you close with the four questions. Now, when you're doing this with little kids, the discussions are not going to be really deep, and that's okay because they're just learning. They're just learning this is the Bible and this is the story and this is who Jesus is and this is how we think about it. And their answers may be really simple, and that is okay. I want to encourage you. It's normal. It's okay. We know it's happening. But our four questions are, what did you like about today's story? Number two, what did you find confusing about today's story? Number three, what did we learn about people? And then number four, what did we learn about Jesus? So there's a reason why we have these questions. Again, we want to connect with kids before we take them deeper and teach them things. And hopefully a connection has been happening. But when I was a kid going to discussion, I was always like, I don't remember answers to things. I don't know anything. So this first question, what did you like about this today's story, is a question that anybody can answer. It could be a kid where Bible is part of their school curriculum, or it could be a kid who has never heard the name of Jesus. Anybody can answer it, so the walls can come down and everybody feels safe contributing to the conversation. The next is, what did you find confusing, or was there something you didn't understand? What better time to ask that question than when at church? This is another reason why preparing in advance is really important, because what if a kid is confused? You want to be able to at least try to have some sort of an answer, but no pressure if you don't know the answer, because honestly, sometimes their questions are very profound, and I don't know the answer to them. And so it's okay to be like, whoa, I don't know. But still, what better place than at church to share those confusing things or to express your confusion? Then the next one is, what do we learn about people? We learned about this person and that person. They did this, they did that. Well, what does that say about people? It shows that we're sinners and we need a savior and we're not perfect and we mess up sometimes. But last question, what do we learn about Jesus? How does this story point to God? What do we learn about God? And then we learn, oh, he's faithful and he's loving and he's kind and he's merciful and he's just. And we can then expound on more of those things on who Jesus is. So those are our four questions. Now, I do have a pro tip. Sometimes transitioning, especially with these kids, straight into the storytelling images can be hard. So one thing I like to do is like hide the storytelling images in the room for the kids to find. Obviously find, but still like look for them. Then have them come up one at a time as you review each story. So they're numbered, so you could be like, who has number one? And they come up and they hold the picture and then you read it. And then, okay, who has number two? And then they come up and read the, you know, so on and so forth. Also, after asking each question, count to seven slowly in your head to give the kids time to think. And if they don't answer, you can give them your answer to help get their creative juices going. So, again, another reason, like, come prepared knowing the story so that if you ask a question, like, what would your answer be? So that you can contribute and support that time if necessary. And then, again, the first two questions are specifically designed to help kids feel comfortable answering. And this is to further encourage connection. If you are running short on time for whatever reason, which you never really should, the two most important questions are, what did you like about today's story and what did you learn about God? Obviously, the goal is to do all four, but if for whatever reason you're not able to do all four, those are the two that I want you to do. Those are the two most important questions. So that is small group, our four questions time. After that, we have what we call snack with lollipops and lemons, and this is a really cool time. Because this is a great time where the kids get to share about their lives and then they get to pray for each other. And we're teaching them how to do that at this time. So you're going to lead the kids to sit at the table. And before passing out the snack, explain that it's snack time and you're going to pass out the snack, but do not eat anything until after praying for the snack. This is a really great time to practice self-control. And kids may not do it perfectly, and that's okay. We're just going to keep encouraging so that they learn to wait. After all the snack has been passed out, then pray for the snack. And then after praying, the kids can eat. And I ask that you don't give more than 2 cups of snack per child, because they don't need more than that. We want them to have something on their belly, but we're not giving them a meal. So please just give them a couple cups. Now here's my pro tip for this. This age group especially loves to help the teacher and to be like a helper in the class. So have the kids help you pass out the snack. They love doing this, and this engages the kids and again continues to build connection between you and them and their peers. Now, while you're doing snack, this is what your conversation is. It's lollipops and lemons. While the kids are having snacks, lead them in this time. This is when they get to share about their day or their week and practice praying for each other. So a lollipop is anything good that happened in their life during the week. So we can be like, hey guys, does anybody have any lollipops? Anything good that happened this week? And the kids can raise their hand and share about the good things. And then we can then ask, what are any lemons that happened during the week? And a lemon is anything hard or sad that happened in their life that week. And so what we do as soon as a child shares a lollipop or a lemon is we go, for instance, say that they said, I got to go to my grandma's house and there was a bouncy house there and that was so much fun. That's a great lollipop. And you go, okay, would somebody like to praise God for their lollipop? And then invite a child to say a very short prayer, like, Dear Jesus, thank you so much that they got to go to their grandma's house and play on the bouncy castle. Amen. And that's it. They're practicing praying and praising God for their friends. Then if a child shares a lemon, say for instance that their goldfish died that week, which would be so sad, invite another child to pray for that lemon. And so invite them to pray, Dear Jesus, I pray that you comfort them since their goldfish died. In your name we pray, amen. And then of course, not all kids are gonna wanna volunteer to pray. A lot of them do, but they may not. And then you just do it. Just keep your prayers really short and model that for them. Because again, the kids are just learning and we get to be here for that. So that is how we do snacks with lollipops and lemons. You can also ask if you have any other prayer requests that they might have, and then the kids, you guys can pray for each other's prayer requests. But normally the snack with lollipops and lemons, our kids just really understand that and they love doing it. So that's a good time. All right. After that is your craft time. As kids are finishing up snack, and they're done doing lollipops and lemons, but they're still snacking and throwing the trash away, show the kids the craft. Once snack is cleaned up, start leading that craft. So leaders will oversee the craft unless they recognize an assistant who would like to grow in their leadership skills. Then they might offer to delegate this activity to that assistant. So what I mean by that is, if you're a leader and you have an assistant who's like a junior hire, middle school, or a high school, or even adult, and you're like, I see that you have leading abilities in you, like you have it in you, offer, like, do you want to lead this craft time? And if they say yes, then let them lead. And then at the end of it, you can give them some constructive feedback and like, this, you did this really well. And this was a struggle I saw. Like, do you think there's something you could have done differently? And kind of like coach them through it if you want. No pressure. So craft time is when the kids are doing a craft. Craft is really important because it kind of solidifies it even more in their mind. They may not keep it. They may throw it away when they get home, but that story went a little deeper because they put their hands to the things that they have been listening to and learning. So the craft we have in this, this training is like a creation crown. You'll see we have supplies that are going to be provided with instructions on how to do that craft. You'll start the time with saying something to help transition the story, the purpose behind this craft. You want to include the purpose, or else the kids are like, I don't know, like they get lost. So in this one, it says, today we learn Jesus is Lord over all of creation. Everything was created by him and for him. He rules over everything. So kids, today we're going to make a crown that has all 7 days of creation on it. And then you're going to follow the instructions on how to create that craft. Again, this is why it's good to look at the lesson ahead of time. Because in these crafting instructions will be really good tips and tricks to do it in a way that doesn't overwhelm you or confuse the kids. And so here are my pro tips for crafts. These might seem really obvious, but it's actually can be challenging for some people, and that's understandable. And so these are tips to really help you guys lead this time well. The first thing is assign one person to each table. Therefore, volunteers aren't spread too thin. You don't want to have all the volunteers running around and then get distracted by just a couple at one table and then like all the other kids are confused and lost. They need to have one person assigned to them at each table. Number two is always read the crafting instructions. There might be good pointers on how to do the craft, which I already mentioned. And number three, don't pass out all the crafting supplies at once. It's actually going to be clearly laid out in your instructions of what to pass out when, and then lead the kids one step at a time. They're still really little. They cannot handle an entire craft at once. They need everything drawn out one step at a time. And then finally, interact with all the kids at your table and not just one. Sometimes one kid will try to take all of our attention, or you just might really vibe with one of the kids and enjoy that kid and end up accidentally like forgetting about the rest of the kids at your table, which happens. Yeah, you even do that sometimes. And so you just want to make sure that you're interacting with all of them so they can all learn and do the craft together. So that is our craft time. And then finally, we have checkouts. So this is what to do as the parents are leaving the service and coming to get the kids. We have a very strict checkout policy. And so this is really important. So as parents arrive, you must ask to see each parent's security label, even if you have a relationship with the family. Say they're in your community group or your neighbors or your kids go to school and you carpool together. Every single time you must check the guardian receipt or the security label is what we call it. Even I do this every single Sunday when I'm checking out kids because we don't ever want to get out of the habit of it because what happens over time is we just like for you might skip one or two to check out like checking the labels. And then after a while of doing that, we kind of lose the habit and then bad things can happen when that happens. And so it's really important for you to check every single one. And then once they're verified, have the parent initial under the checkout column on the sign-in sheet. So again, the parent security label will match the kid's name tag, which will match the sign-in sheet. You just want to check them all. And then once it's all verified, they can sign their initials. And then the kids can go with their parents and you can send them home with their completed craft and their activity pages. Maybe some already colored some activity pages at the beginning. Maybe they haven't and you're just going to give one on the way out. But we want to send that home so parents can see what their kids are learning and even do some supplemental activities at home to further disciple their children. Now, on rare occasions, a parent may not have their security code. And when that happens, just kindly ask if they know where it is and if they can go get it. Sometimes another parent is checking out another child and they have it and not you or that the parent that's in front of you. And so they just need to have it. And usually parents are very understanding and will go get that security label. However, on rare occasions, they might get upset. And if so, just simply say something to the effect of, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I totally understand how frustrating this is. I mean, like your child is right here. It's just that we have this policy and I am like really not allowed to release a child. So let me just call the coordinator and they'll just get this situated. And so just text the coordinator. They'll come over and they'll verify that that parent goes with that child. Even if you know them, just go through this process. And me and Karina will deal with the upset parent on your behalf, so you don't need to worry about them. So then again, contact the coordinator and then they will verify the parent. And then finally, classroom cleanup and reset. At the end of service, clean up and reset your classroom. The room should look exactly how you found it when you arrived. So the toys in their proper place, the counters clear of unnecessary items, the floor is clean. If there's any lost and found, put it in the lost and found at the end of the hallway where the bathrooms are at, like in the main hallway with like the men's and women's bathrooms. And so that everything is ready for whatever is going to happen next in that classroom. And just to learn how to do this or to review how to do your cleanup, please refer to the classroom cleanup and reset training. Also, the instructions for cleanup will be posted. They are posted in your room on the wall. So if you forget anything, you just go through the list that's on that clean that those instructions on that checklist and should be good to go. So yeah, this concludes the 4-year-old through first grade training. I absolutely love this age group and I'm so excited for you to get to experience this group of kids as well. They're so fun. And yeah, I look forward to serving with you on Sundays. God bless.